Church. Kia ora. When I'm working with international students, I like to tell them that kia ora is a very important word. What does it mean? It means welcome, be well, thank you, I agree, amen. So when you see someone, say kia ora, because you are giving them a blessing. So I'm going to continue this series on membership. And I'm going to start by saying what I'm grateful for. I am grateful for you all. I've been part of this church for a while now. This is sermon number 50 for me. But when I started at this church, I was a very broken person. And there have been people who have known my brokenness and have journeyed with me in my brokenness. If it wasn't for you all, I wouldn't be here today. Literally, I would be in a grave. I am grateful for you all. Now, on June the 19th, so a couple of weeks ago, I had the honour to be invited to participate in a day of remembrance for Ngāti Toa Rangatira, the mana whenua of Porirua, the people of Porirua. We stood around a flagpole as they raised their tribal flag to remember the day, 19 June 1840, when their paramount chief, Te Rapaha, put a signature on Te Tiriti o Waitangi on Mana Island. He signed in the belief that it would guarantee him and his people their ownership of the lands they occupied, and he told his people to never let the flame be extinguished, never let their fires go out. Before the flag was raised, I was talking with a fellow Christian. I was up in the office, who said to me, this is last Friday. It was actually a very fine Friday compared to the Friday it's been. What are you doing over the weekend? I said, I'm writing a sermon about church membership and what it means to be ahikā. What it means to keep the fire burning. I spent some time with her talking about the concept of ahikā and the gift that God has given churches here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, with Māori culture. There's a lot that can be learnt of church's journey alongside Marae. We finished the conversation and went to the Ngāti Toa event led by Kumātua Te Taku. And as we stood around the flag on a windless Wellington day, the contrast between the two Fridays is very real, Te Taku spoke into the key symbol on the flag, a hand holding a flame. The flag of Ngāti Toa is called ahikā, he told the crowd standing around it. The fellow Christian and I looked at each other because we'd just finished a conversation on it. Quite literally, ahikā means burning fires, Taku told us. But in Te Ao Māori, the Māori world, words have symbolic meaning. To be ahikā, Te Taku told us, is to keep the fire burning. Traditionally, fires provided warmth, they would show land being occupied and would sustain people through the provision of cooked foods. If family members were lost, they would find their way home by looking for the fire. As I was writing the sermon, this is not down, all the time I was writing it, I remembered a song, one of my grandfather's favourite songs. Keep the home fires burning. And all of that was about the soldiers overseas knowing that they would be able to find their home. So even if wars are lost, or in recent times natural disasters destroy the marae, to be ahikā is for those that remain to tend the fire that remains, preserving that place and space for people to return. When I spoke to my colleague on the 19th, I did not know that the flag of Ngāti Toa was called ahikā. All I knew was that since I said yes to being an elder of this church, I felt God was calling us to be in a place of ahikā. Just before I said yes, members of this church voted as to whether we would discontinue our rebuild insurance of this building complex should it be destroyed in a natural disaster, or should the hole that we sit in get filled with water in a rain event. In that decision, the voting members of this church committed to ensuring that we would maintain a presence in Wainuiomata if we were to lose this building. We voted yes. If this building was gone, we would maintain a presence. And from that point, I felt God pressing into me to share this message of ahikā. Literally, I felt it being pressed upon me. It has been 2 years in the making, but as Te Taku spoke into ahikā just over a week ago, I knew in my heart that it is time for me to share with you what God has impressed on me 2 years ago. We are to be a people who come together in membership to keep the fire of God burning in this community. You see, ahikā, the fire that can only stay lit, ahikā is the fire that can only stay lit because the people of God stay present. The fire can only stay lit if the people of God stay present. In this place, at this time, to be a member of this community of faith, of Wainuiomata Baptist Church, is not to hold the status of membership. We all belong. It's not a status. It is not to separate those who can vote from those who cannot. Membership here is a presence that you commit to keeping. It's a presence that you commit to keeping. It is saying that, yes, right here, right now, I am committing to ahikā, to keeping the light and flame of our fire burning. Now, this helps us see membership, what membership truly is, what to be ahikā truly entails. I want to suggest that if we take the idea that fire can only stay lit because the people of God stay present, that membership entails five commitments. All of these are about right relationships. Right relationship with God and right relationship with each other. Now, I am going to be using more te reo than you've probably heard in the past. When I do, I will always translate afterwards. Okay, so don't feel like I'm trying to distance or isolate. I will always translate afterwards. For example, te ao Māori, the Māori world. I'll always do it like that, okay? So you'll get it all the way through. But the first one isn't. The first commitment is very, very simple. The first ahikā commitment is a commitment to covenant living. We find this called a covenant living throughout the full letter of Ephesians. It is a perfect letter for this, as it is to a church that is built on diversity. Different people, different cultures, different ages. Jew and Gentile coming together in Christ. Phil did an excellent sermon on membership and Ephesians, and if you haven't heard it, go back, because I'm not going to repeat Phil, so I had to select other verses from Ephesians. So we're going to look at Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. I'm also not going to put the verses up there. You've got Bibles or phones. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. To be committed to keeping the fire that we believe in alight here in Wainuiomata, we are committed to more than just a contractual relationship in which we sign the bottom line and get on with life. We are committed to joining with fellow Christians, citizens of God, and members of his household. We're committed to holding Christ as our cornerstone. We have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We have committed to learning from each other, learning from those who have come before us, and understanding that we are built together in a covenant relationship. We understand when we are brought together in a covenant relationship, we rise up to being a holy temple, a dwelling for God's Holy Spirit. Diverging from here, to understand covenant when it comes to God's people is really, really important, because often we just think as covenant as God and people. We don't realise that God is calling us in that space for a way of living in covenant with each other. It's not a one-way thing, it's a three-way thing. A few years ago, Cecily Archer gave a beautiful sermon about how we become more Christ-like, and she talked about it as a triangle of Christ at the apex. And as we live together, grow together, we get closer to Christ. We sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. I wonder where that's from. A covenant relationship with each other is ongoing. It is relational. It is mutual. It looks to the future, but also builds our identity as a church together. Our identity. Our identity is defined by us, not the building. The building doesn't define us. I think about it as this: what is our reputation here in Wainuiomata? How do others talk about us? That's our identity. It is us staying present, staying connected, and staying committed. The second ahika commitment is a commitment, and this is going to be very controversial, and I'll probably be excommunicated, maybe. The second ahika commitment is a commitment, it's committing to a presence that sustains community. It's committing to a presence that sustains community. In other words, it is a presence that shows to each other and the world that a fire is burning here. There is a presence, and the community of this church is alive and well. I think about it like this: every time someone drives past a church, is the church empty or is it church full? We know on a Sunday we've got a presence. In Acts, we learn of the early church and how ahika, having a present fire, can lead to growth, as fire attracts others to its warmth. I'm reading from Acts 2, verses 44 to 47. Very famous scripture. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their membership daily those who were being saved. So what is presence that sustains a community? And how can we see that in Acts 2? To be blunt, a presence that sustains community is a commitment to remaining, dwelling together, showing up, and keeping the fire burning. It's something you can't do if you choose only to come to church when you feel like it. I would even argue that if we made the decision to never again have a Sunday service here, visibly, but we as a church would only meet online, our fire would slowly cease burning, because we would be, for all intents and purposes, no longer physically present. After all, it is near impossible to achieve the first commitment, a covenant relationship, on a YouTube screen. So showing up and being present is a commitment that another Māori concept captures perfectly. Very big one, whakawhanongatanga. The enacting of physical, visible and spiritual expressions of being family together. That's what it means. Being able to see family together. Being able to enable the spirit of being family together to grow. A commitment to a presence that sustains community is a community of physical, visible and spiritual relational belonging. Coming together as a church family and connecting with each other. The third ahikā commitment, it's the first time ever, Anthea, I'm giving a sermon where I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The third ahikā commitment is one to whakapapa. Where we have come from and continuity. It is a commitment that builds on from Helen Temple's poem, Someone Took Away the Chairs. When I was young, I used to sit behind the saints at church and listen as they told of battles fought and won in lonely places, would pray and sing, steady and true, their faith worn smooth with fine years. ... Today, I stood in church and saw that someone had taken away the chairs. Mine was the front row now, and just behind me was the young Christians wanting to learn from me. It's one of the only poems that's not found on the internet, Royce. To be committed to knowing where we have come from and continuity means we're committed to keeping the fire of Wainuamata Baptist Church burning so that the next generation knows where home is. It is us as a body committing to passing on our faith, mentoring young believers in theirs, knowing and holding the story of this church, and it is a commitment to maintain mission, both local and global. It is a commitment to sending people out, keeping the fire alight, so that if and when they need to, they can find their way home. And there will be a home to come to. I'm so pleased that when Gary and Jude came back, we were still here for them. It's real, it's real. And I remember the people who have come before me in this very church and how they've spoken to my life. June and her smile of welcome and my absolute brokenness. She would always hug me and welcome me, and I knew I was home. Anne and our hidden family connection in the Wilton line. I still hold in my physical Bible at home a photo of encouragement by Gilbert Hatfield for my first ever sermon, as well as a card from Tricia for the same sermon. One of the most cherished letters is from Barbara Gribbard for a sermon I gave on Romans 13 in Bonhoeffer. A big one-page letter talking into how that sermon spoke to her. I still remember with a smile, he would sit pretty much right here. Ron Senior, one of the founding members of our church, and every time there was a family forum, he would always have a question. He would always base that question about when this church was built. And there was a divide down the middle of the room, and the children were on one side and the church was on the other. And are we committed to our whakapapa? Was basically what he was saying. And I remember the challenge he was for Pastor Paul at the time. Paul preferred to have no questions in family forums. And now, it's my turn to give back and feed the next generation. It is my turn to tell the story of this church to others. We have a long and proud history as a church. We are built on families, built on mission, and first and foremost, built on faith with Christ as our cornerstone. The fourth ahikā commitment is one of shared responsibility. Another Māori concept captures this beautifully. Kai tiakitanga, stewardship, guardianship. It is to say, yes, we will be kai tiakitanga of this church, our faith community. We will work together in active guardianship, being good stewards of what God has provided us. And yes, this is about how we actively steward the physical resources we've been provided, this building, the whenua, the land on which it sits, how we steward our staff, the role of pastor as a staff member, and we have to steward that role well. And as elders, we have to make sure our pastor doesn't burn out. It's one of the key things. It is about how we physically give our talents, tithes, and offerings. But I want to suggest this too. It is also about how we steward our relationship with each other and what we believe. So as I've said, both Phil and I have used the letter of Ephesians to teach into how the church should live together, how to light a fire and keep the fire burning. If you go through the Bible, now I'm a terrible person when it comes to sermons. I'm one of these people that I read the notes that are attached. If I've got my app open, I'm like, oh yes, I'm going to check the Greek of this, and I busy phones are amazing things. I can do lots of things on it. And so I was like, I'm certain there's a letter to Ephesians in Revelation. So I flicked through while Phil was preaching, flicking through. Oh, it's the first letter. That's going to make it really easy. So I found it, Revelations 2. This is Jesus speaking to the church, the same church that Paul spoken to and written to. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardships in my name and not grown weary. Well, that's good. That's pretty good. They've been pretty pious. You know, they've stuck to the rules. Oh, you're not a good Christian and you get out. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Grace, mercy, humility, living with each other in love. If you do not repent, I will come to you. I love this. In a sermon on Ahika, I love this line. Right, ready? I will come to you and I'll remove your lampstand from its place. The fire and presence of the Ephesian church will no longer be present. One of the hardest things in keeping ahika is keeping each other to account in love and reminding each other that it's the grace of mercy of Christ that brings us together. It isn't anything we have done or can go through on our own strength. Thank you so much, Jenna. Thank you so much, Mark, when you were sharing, because you both spoke into that. It's nothing we can do. How dare we judge others? We prayed this morning for those who have left our church or have fallen away. Ahika is how we allow those people to return to us. Yes, there's been times, Anthony, you've done it plenty of times with me, calling me to account. Just saying, Fiona, you know, it was particularly during Bible college, I mean. You know, is this really correct, you know, when I was getting a bit Gnostic, getting my head in the clouds. That's a calling to account to bring me into a right line again. There is a place for that, but there's not a place to judge each other. I want to hit this point again about stewarding right relationships with each other just one more time. Now, I have a few years on me now compared to 1990 when I first gave my life to Christ. I have seen churches come and go, and I, like others here, have seen churches in Christchurch lose their buildings due to the earthquake, earthquakes. But I've also seen a lot of church buildings in New Zealand still standing, but empty of worship. I see some in Wainuiomata. I want to suggest one thing. If a church is strong in relationship with each other, they can lose their building and remain strong together. We have seen this through the Christchurch earthquakes. But if a church is divided or poor in relationship with each other, the building may remain, but the church itself will collapse. This would make a mighty fine picture theatre, even without the people. It could be used. I have seen this time and time again, and I've been part of a church where this happened, and it still breaks my heart because of the hurt that resulted. The fourth Ahikā commitment is one of shared responsibility and stewardship. Finally, Ahikā in membership is a mutual commitment. It is a commitment by each and every one of us to a shared covenant of presence and responsibility. Each of us making that decision. Not a pastor making that decision on behalf of you. Each of us making our decision. This aligns with Baptist congregational governance. When we come together to make decisions, we, like the early church in Acts, we make those decisions mutually together. We, as voting members, voted to both say, right, we're going to take the risk, God. We have more faith in you than we do in insurance companies that keep putting the bills up. We made that commitment mutually together. We also made the commitment mutually together that should our church fall over tomorrow, we are going to maintain a presence. We made those two commitments together. Not one for us, on top of us. It was a mutual commitment. If we have this understanding that Ahikā is about presence, covenant living together, building on our past and keeping the fire burning into the future, shared responsibility and a commitment to being stewards of our faith and resources, if we have a mutual commitment to this, then we have a fire we can build upon. You see, Ahikā is a fire that can only stay lit because the people of God stay present. It can only stay lit because the people of God stay present. In this place, at this time, to be a member of this community of faith, of Wainuiomata Baptist Church, is not to hold the status of member. Membership here is a presence that you commit to keeping. I am so, when God gave me the sermon, I didn't know we were going to go into gratefulness. But I actually am really grateful that I, because I'm someone that was very much of the position, I came from an apostolic background. We don't have membership in the apostolic. It doesn't work that way. I don't know how decisions are made in the apostolic. I was just too young, okay? I don't know the doxology. Sort of. But I didn't know the new song either, so I'm good on both sides. I find myself increasingly, I am grateful I said yes to being a member. Because actually, at the end of the day, it's the thing that's got me coming to church on a Sunday and not going to another church in Wainui. Because it's easy to flirt around, you know. There was a time I did say to Paul, Eric and I took a break, because Eric was quite, he used to be on the sound desk every Sunday, and he was really, really tired. So we took about 3 months, and we said to Paul, Pastor Paul at the time, we wanted to go around and see what the other churches were like. But it wasn't a, we don't want to be part of this. But the fact that we stood up and actually said, yeah, we'll be a member, despite not thinking this membership thing works. I'm one of the ones, like you all who voted last year, that own that decision 2 years ago. I'm one of the ones that can say, yeah, I'm one of the ones that voted yes, we will maintain a presence. I'm one of the ones that voted yes, we will cease whatever the insurance is called. I'm responsible for that decision. And there is a chance that this church will fall down in an earthquake. It's a very real chance. And I don't know why the water doesn't puddle here, because the water puddled on Wellington Road. And I understand one person knows about that quite specifically, how deep the puddle was. As this place falls over, I will tell you this. As a member, I'll be here on the Sunday that there's wreckage here with my acoustic guitar, knowing that we've not got a sound desk working, we've got no electricity, and I'll be praising God. Amen. You know, because that's what being a member is about. It's a commitment to being present. It's a commitment to being present. And you know what? I'm so thankful for God for giving me this message, because actually there's no concept that captures membership as beautifully as Ahika. There's no concept, because we all play a part in keeping that fire lit. We all play a part. I don't know the te reo saying. You're probably saying thank you for that. But there is a whakatauki, a proverb in Te Ao Māori that says that with the workers in the kitchen, the leaders can do their job. Tom knows it, but it is a very powerful saying, because it's everyone plays a part, whether you're vacuuming in the church, whether you're mowing the lawns. That's what ahika is about. Someone's gathering the firewood, someone's putting the fire together, someone's cooking on the fire, someone's got the guitar around the fireplace, the kids are around the fireplace. What I love about this concept of ahika and the fire is, as we're praying this morning, I could see our wounded people coming home, and literally we're creating a space in front of the fire, right in front of the fire, for the warmth of that fire, the Spirit of God, to bring healing to that person. That's why it's so beautiful to think about, hey, I want to be present. Membership here is a presence that you commit to keeping. It is saying, yes, right here, right now, I commit to ahika, to keeping the light and flame of our fire burning. So, there's nothing fancy in ahika. It's not like the moment that you give your life to Christ. That's a decision that changes your life. It's not that, you know. But if you really haven't considered being a member, and you want to keep the fire burning in this church, 1 o'clock, there's a free lunch. And you can ask the questions. What can I do to keep the fire of this church burning? Because if we keep the home fires burning, we've got a place to come. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.